Sci-Fi Party Line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
Hey, what's happening, Kat? I got you all to myself.
Wow.
All right. Bring it, girl. Bring it.
Oh, yeah. Let's activate the house party protocol.
I'm doing the dance. I got the hip.
So today we're going to, be very updated and talk about Iron Man 3.
Fresh, people. This is fresh. Can't keep up with y'all.
Fine, I just saw it, and we'll talk about that. We may talk about some other TV shows. We have some things that we need to talk about and discuss to get off our chest, because that's the way we're going to roll today. So we'll just roll with it, and you want to get right into Iron Man 3 with a Tony Stark and Jarvis and...
Let's do it.
I was going to say Magneto, but it's Iron... what is it? Iron...
Warrior? Iron Patriot.
Patriot.
Iron Patriot. Iron
Patriot. He's not War Machine anymore because, the liberals or something.
Well, it's very gaudy, the whole concept of War Machine. So, instead we're going to paint the tank red, white, and blue and have you march around a net.
War Machine is more honest. Iron Patriot is condescending.
Yeah, it's too PC. That's too PC. It just seems like a marketing ploy, especially with giant weapons on it.
Yes! So
everybody knows what it is.
I know, and everybody. But, I think Rhodey Don did a really good job this time. I don't know why we're talking about him first, but, let's roll with it. But I think he was just so funny, and his dry humor was just really badass. His fight scenes were awesome. I'm really, he stepped it up a notch in this film, and I'm really glad to see him.
It was good to see his character being utilized. Everybody in Iron Man is funny. That is one of the remarkable things about it. And I think Robert Downey kind of set the trend for that in the first movie. But as each movie goes along, he keeps being funny, and everybody around him is funny. And that's, I think, he sparked the humor, and folks just got to roll with him. You can't be serious around him. And not, you just can't be serious around him. Everybody becomes funny. So, he's a good foil, or not a foil, but a good sidekick.
Yeah, good stuff. Now, I do have a concern about Jon Favreau. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Favreau. He's directing the film and acting in it.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
What? So... if he was the hero of the film, then we would have a problem. But he plays a very self-deprecating role. He's unconscious most of the film. he's always getting beat up and talked about. It's funny.
It is funny, but it's like I'm like totally aware when I see him that he, inserted himself in his own story, and that, well, he didn't write it, but he inserted himself in his own project, and it bothers me, but his character is so funny that I kind of ignore it. So I'm on the fence of, he's in his own thing, this is loaded vanity project, blah. And then I can't say it because his character, he's funny.
So
I'm of two minds about it.
Okay, well, I agree with you. I am aware of it. When I see him on screen, I'm like, how is he shooting this and in it? I do think of that in those moments. But like I said, he's funny. He's interesting. He's not all throughout. He hasn't really saved the day anytime in the series. So that, it's all right. He's fun. I'm just kind of happy to see him.
All right. So when I direct my film, I can be in it too.
Yeah, as long as you don't, bust out and try to save the day, then that would just be kind of, a bit much.
Yeah, wank fest. Okay. The new suit, the new Iron Man suit, we see
43. Mark 43.
I thought it was 42.
Could be 42. That is the answer to all things.
Yeah, it is.
So, all right.
I like that he did his little dance and he put his hands on and the suit comes to him now. I really, really like that. At first, when I first saw it, I was like, this is gimmicky, but it saved his ass in a lot of places because he's just like, do the hand, suit comes, do the hand, suit comes. And so I need stuff like that.
I'm always excited to see what the next innovation of the suit is going to be. Yeah, when each movie comes out, I'm going to say, okay, how's he updating it? What's new this time? And over the second movie, you know, he had a couple of versions that we got to see. And so I was really trying to figure out, well, you know, what could he do this time to make the suit more interesting and more different? I thought the 42 was interesting. I thought it was a useful update. You know, it made sense to have the suit instead of him walking around with Happy walking around with it in a suitcase with a wrist. The handcuffs on it. You know, that is a little less than practical. Even though the fact that it was small was cool.
Yeah.
So the fact that the suit can get up and run to you is kind of cool. The fact that they also made robotic suits, to me, of course, made total sense.
Oh, of course.
That, you know, I mean, but, you know, really, you got Jarvis running around. Why not make him get up and do stuff? So that made sense to me, and those innovations were really good. There were a lot of suits in this movie, though. So here's the thing. I like to take time to appreciate the innovations of the suit. There were, like, 19 suits, all kinds of different, and I don't know, you know, you got glimpses at what the innovations were, and I think that was a bit of a waste, because I really, really like seeing them, and I want to know, you know, what is this one doing, what's
You're
that one doing?
You're gonna have to buy the Blu-ray.
I guess so, and pause and freeze and see what's going on, but the suits were cool. I dug the suits, that was very, very cool.
Another thing I can see people hating is Pepper having the suit on. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I didn't think there was no hate there. No hate there. Yeah. I thought in the beginning it was appropriate where, you know, he throws the suit on her as the house is coming apart.
That was gorgeous. Sense. Oh my God, it was so beautiful.
I got no beef with that.
That was beautiful.
Of course, you know, he loves this woman. He wants to make sure she's safe. It's the only thing he had right there. Of course he's going to suit her up. No problem there. And the fact, you know, she didn't instantly know how to use it also made sense. You know, she's falling around and it blew her way through the door carrying her friend there.
Yeah.
So, you know, if she all of a sudden, you know, flew around and lifted up the side of the house to save Tony, that would be like, come on. You know, that would be hammy. But then she almost rolled over on her friend there.
Yeah.
And got through the front door as best as she could, and it came right off. Not a problem. I thought it was cool. It was a loving gesture, because after all, the suits are part of him. We know that. So that's.
I just loved. I didn't expect it. I've seen magazine covers with her arm in the. I think maybe it was Entertainment Weekly or something where her arm was in the Iron Man arm, and I was like, well, why does she have on the suit? And then there were other pictures with her with the suit on. I was like, what's that about? So they were kind of like hinting at her being in the suit without really, you know. I just thought they were being cute, put her in the suit, but it meant something.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty good. Now we have our guy from Prometheus.
Pierce is
Guy Pierce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So him as nerdy guy at the beginning was terrible.
What, you didn't believe that? You just
the worst nerd ever.
I mean, clearly, when you're watching movies and you see that, you know, the over nerdy guy or over nerdy girl at the beginning, and you know at the end of the movie that's when they're gonna take off the glasses and toss the hair back and they're gonna be this crazy hot, you know, that's coming.
Oh my god, I was like, is that guy with the. No,
yeah,
hell no.
It's not entirely believable as the nerd, but you know, I kind of knew where that was going. But I thought the throwback to the 90s was kind of fun. That whole, you know, Y2K countdown and them being together. I thought, you know, and Blue, of course, in the start in the show with Blue just really set a kind of fun tone to what was coming up in the movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good choice. I thought it was a good choice, and it made total sense. So,
Yeah.
Good start.
So, let's see. with Guy Pearce and his extremist brain universe thermogenic occurrence, what heat signature, blah blah. Well, I'm not sure that I cared about that for Bad Guys. It wasn't scary, or I don't know. It just.
Well, see, all right, because I just want to jump in. I just want to jump in right now. Let's talk about the Mandarin. Okay, so.
Let's back up. Yeah.
My main grope. Oh, group. My main My main gripe with all of the Iron Man movies is I don't think he's had a decent bad guy. I don't think he's had a decent, but Tony Stark and Robert Downey is so exciting as the hero and so exciting as Iron Man that you really want a foil for him that is going to be on par. On the same level as he is, he's going to have some real dark motivations. He's going to really test him throughout.
They tried that with the second movie.
Let's see, but you know, come on, he was too small. He was too small. I mean, even the oh, well, let me just stick with three because we talked about two.
No,
three.
Yeah,
but just throughout. I mean, honestly, do you think that in the history of the Iron Man villains? Has there been a villain that has really felt like he was Tony Stark's equal?
I'm sure comic book readers have an answer for you, but as far as the film, I mean, I think that the thing in the Avengers movie had an effect on him because he has anxiety now and PTSD. But as far as the Iron Man movies themselves, these villains are just what?
That's my beef. So,
but would you rather him have something like in that recent Spider-Man movie where it was just totally unbelievable in my eyes, where it was, what would he turn into, a big turtle or something? What was he, a lizard?
Yeah,
and the spider, it was just like, it was, it pulled you out of the reality of it.
Well,
but
that's,
here
that's,
is to, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's why I had such I really didn't like Spider-Man, the new one, because, you know, again, the villain was boring. But see, look, Iron Man knows better. I mean, look at the quality of what we're talking about. I'm even going to try to let go of the villain, you know, because I really, Iron Man so far, I'm going to record now, Iron Man so far has been my favorite movie of the year. Okay, that's, so there you go. I've liked it more, Star Trek, liked more than all, it's been my favorite movie so far.
Wait, you liked it more than Star Trek?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh my God, I don't know you anymore.
Stop this.
Who are you?
Come on. Yeah, of course.
Are you?
I liked it. And I'm not saying
this. Of course.
I'm not saying
this. We need to pull this podcast over.
What is wrong with you? Look, I'm serious. Like, you know, it had some issues, and we can get into those too. But overall, I really, really liked. I liked it. I enjoyed it, and it is my favorite one this year. But anyway, so okay, so let's get back to the villains. You know, I had high hopes for the Mandarin.
Why?
Going into it, from all the previews. I didn't see too many previews, so I wasn't trying to spoil it. You know, the idea of Iron Man going after a terrorist was interesting. I thought that given how funny and charismatic and playful Tony Stark has been in the series, like I said, it's hard not to be funny around him. Even his bad guys have been kind of funny, you know, with him. That, man, you throw a terrorist in there, that ain't going to be funny. And they're going to have to tighten mess up. Because, you know, this dude's killing folks, he's causing chaos, and he's destroying stuff, and he's going after Pepper. That's the kind of rage. That's the kind of, you know, con-like angst I want to see Tony Stark going up against, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we're, you know, when we, the build-up.
Oh, but before you, before that, the build-up to me, because this goes before your reveal.
Yep.
So when I saw the Mandarin in this film, I didn't see any previews, and I didn't know he was coming. I thought that immediately that Guy Pearce, that was Guy Pearce, and he had invented some sort of shapeshifter technology because his voice was like big and booming and he kind of sound like Guy Pearce to me for some reason. So I thought we were going in that direction with the Mandarin.
Okay, well, still.
And then, now you can proceed with where you were going.
Well, look, I would have taken that as well because, look, I want a good villain for Tony Stark. And so to see the split villain between the caricature that was the Mandarin, I mean, and it was so shocking, the difference. I will say absolutely. I did not see that coming. You know, I'm often seeing where movies are going to go, I sure didn't see that coming. In terms of, but it's not entirely welcome, really. I was not happy with the Benny Hill version of a villain that Ben, and the fact is Ben Kingsley. Come on, I love that guy.
You want to know why I cracked? Not only did it crack me up, doesn't it scratch at your inner conspiracy theories about like Saddam Hussein and Bin Laden, like maybe they were actors and this was like, if you want to go crazy for a second, like, you know the reality of it, but yeah. Then, like, you hear crazy people talking about those theories, and then here they are and they put the theory in the film, and to me, I just found it hilarious. So I wasn't supremely disappointed, but man.
I was so ready for a real villain. Because, here's the other thing. So, yes, I agree with you about, you know, the caricature of the villain, well, of what terrorists might be. You know, Saddam Hussein, when you look at the history of it, he kind of was like that. You know, everybody made him to be that he's this, you know, super villain and everything, and he did terrible things. But he wasn't driven by any, you know, higher thing. The dude wanted money. You know, he was possessed. He was just trying to, you know, get his thing, and that was what the source of his terrorism. So, you know, when you see stuff like Wag the Dog and all those other things, being able to invent villains, you know, the PR version of villains is believable. I can see that. But, you know, like I said, given the history of Iron Man, I really, really, really wanted a good villain for him. And so, like I said, the split version of him, between Guy Pearce being another industrialist slash, you know, scientist who's, you know, trying to do his thing, it kind of felt like, what's his name from the last movie, mm-hmm. you know, who was, you know, another jaded scientist that Tony Stark stepped on. You know, last movie he had two of them, you know, one was the muscle and one was the nerd. Well, now, you know, here we go. Now we got the nerd and now we've got, you know, the caricature. So I never really felt the anger behind the villain. You know, I want to be able to relate to the villain. I want to be able to understand what's motivating them. And half the time, really, I want to feel something with the villain too. Like Joker. You know, Joker's been my favorite modern villain right now. He was angry. He'd been through some difficult stuff. He was an agent of chaos and anarchy. And the way he sold it in the movie, you're like, you know what, Joker? You might have a point. You can kind of get. He's doing terrible things. He's jacking stuff up, and Batman. But you're still going, you know, he may just have. He turned Two-Face. That's what I'm talking about. Give me a real villain where, you know, you can start to feel something. Splitting between, you know, Aldrich, you know, Pierce, and Ben Kingsley, who was the Mandarin. Splitting that between the two. They one of them wasn't a particularly focused bad guy. So now you got the thing going in two different directions where it wasn't even a higher level thing that was bothering. It was a lot. You know, it didn't bring the focus in terms of really challenging Tony Stark, in my opinion. And
if they threw in the kid.
Oh God!
It was Last Action Hero. That's all I kept thinking about.
I'm thinking John Connor from T2. I'm thinking, you know, all of it. That was so gimmicky. You know,
I don't know why they did that. That just sucked the life out of the film.
It slowed it down, didn't it? It felt like. I mean, I really think it was almost half an hour of that kid. You know, interactions with he and the kid. And on one level, I can sort of understand how, on paper, seeing Tony Stark interact with a kid would be fun, you know, because, you know, really, if you want to back up and try to put this in a broader story arc context, Pepper's been waiting a long time. You know, Pepper and Tony, they've been getting closer and closer to the serious now. Do you think maybe at some point they're going to have some Iron Babies? Maybe. So we want to see, you know, how would Tony be as a father? Wink, wink. You know, and I can see how in a story that could be interesting, but not 30 minutes of a film. And I'm really feeling it was like 20, 30 minutes out of Iron Man where we're getting these sort of moments between those two. But it didn't. And the fact that it was laced on top of a really, You know, I don't like mysteries slash, you know, like detective things, right?
Mm.
So to layer the kid on top of the, we're going to investigate on foot. You know, Tony Stark, no suit. He's gumshoeing it around. And, you know, where was he? In Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, in the snow going, well, the blast zone goes, just a spatter platter. And goes, are you kidding me? And the kid's like, see, Tony, what's next? You know, a little hand pump. And,
I totally expect a dog to roll up.
Yes.
I totally expect a dog.
Oh,
and if there would have been, I was waiting on the dog, and if the dog had showed up, I would have been really, really upset. But yeah, I mean,
and of course the kids held hostage. You know, the kid. Oh, Tony, I didn't know it. Back off, Iron Man. I got your kid. I mean, where was the? All was missing was the twirling of the mustache. I mean, that is. Come on, you know, if the kid had just
poor guy Pierce.
Yeah.
And he didn't have that soup. Like, what was his motivation was stupid.
Yeah, and the other thing is, it really wasn't his tech, too. Remember, it was the girl.
No, it was Tony's tech that he scribbled down while drunk.
Wait. Oh,
paper, remember?
But see, he was okay. But the woman Maya, the woman Maya,
yeah,
had brought the tech to him first, and she was trying to get him to support it and figure out what was wrong with it, help her figure out what was it. So. It wasn't God.
Right.
He was sort of like the overarching CEO that brought her in and integrated the tech. But you see, in terms of motivation, it wasn't even his tech that he was using. I mean, I want to feel something for this guy, and he's outsourcing the villainy here. I mean, it's just really, everything is just not quite there.
The soldiers were weird. Like, who are these people? And did one die? And we see it. I don't know.
Let me ask you this. Did we see what happened to Maya? Remember there was the whole, oh yes, and the interwebs have been joking that that they basically ripped off the whole bad guy scene from The Incredibles. Because, you know, Tony's up there suspended while the woman is, you know, pacing back and forth telling her why she really doesn't want to do the evil thing. And then the guy, it was funny. It actually is when you think about it. But in that moment where Maya, I get that, yeah, her son, Maya.
He shot her.
Well, right.
In the head.
But hang on. But she did have that, like, syringe thing right up against her neck. Mm. Is she really, really dead? Do we know that? Or is it just, you know, me reading more stuff in here?
You're reading a little bit too much into
it. Again, I'm just annoyed that it was her tech. That he stole it. And then really, in that moment.
Yeah, but she was wishy-washy. Like, she, you know, was all doing subterfuge and stuff like that with trying to bring in Tony Stark, getting Pepper to save her. And then at the last minute, I'll kill me if you hurt him. Like, really? Oh. You were evil from the start. What are you doing? Why are you doing this now? It doesn't make any sense.
I didn't like the flip-flop either. And again, the motivation was an issue. So I'm there. I got you. All right. Well, I was just thinking, trying to add something in, a little extra spice.
Yeah, no. No, she got shot in the head. I was done. I don't care. Right. Well, if I see her again, I'm going to be super annoyed.
Well, you know, because it's going to be an all-out chick fight. Next film, she could come back from the dead, and now she's mad at Pepper, right? You got my man. I'm going to burn you up with my laser breath.
She slept with him one night in 1999.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Tony Stark, though. Come on, he brings it. Anywho.
Yeah.
So, like I said, there were, you know, these kind of things. I was not a big, tremendous fan of the villain. I was really hoping for more with that. But there were so many moments that were just fun. If you can just string together good moments that don't grate at you in terms of inconsistency and craziness, that's what was fun. I mean, the plane scene. Catching the folks.
Oh, the midair human daisy chain.
Barrel of monkeys. That was fun.
That was fun. And this was an action movie without a car chase, I noticed.
Wow. Oh, very nice.
There was no car chase, and this was very exciting.
Wow, good point. I mean,
there was a MAC-10 truck that hit the suit, but that's
hilarious.
Hilarious. So I was like, oh no. What's it? And then he's in a like a trailer or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was his remotes.
Yeah, me. Yeah. So,
so yes.
I.
Oh, but yeah, I didn't want to get back with you on it. I agree with you. Not entirely enthused about the mutagenic X-Men tech in here. as that being the villain of now. When you look at the arc of science fiction, it makes sense that you're going to pit the metal robot technology against the advanced biology. Yeah, I just knew that was coming. So that's just a sci-fi arc. That's how it's got to be. But again, it felt so much like something we had seen before. You know, it felt like a lot of, like what we'd seen in X-Men. That I was hoping that they were going to do a little bit more with it, and just, you know, burning up folks and squeezing them and exploding.
And you know what? I didn't cry. I didn't tear up. I didn't feel it.
Nope. So, yeah. Another thing, how'd you feel about Tony Stark's performance anxiety?
I'm not sure why they did that or put that in there other than to like raise, it seems like always in all these Marvel films, they're always trying to raise awareness of something. Like in the Avengers, they were talking about green tech and recycling and stuff like that. And so this one, they're really raising issues with mental health. And so I think that, and soldiers and mental health. And so maybe it's opening up a some sort of, I guess, entertainment dialogue. For some PTSD reason or something. Maybe. Yeah. So I liked it because anxiety is real and people experience it in different ways. Experiencing it with the kids, because it's something with the kids, because he was at the table in a restaurant and some kids came up to him and he was like wanting to breathe into a paper bag. And then he met the kid in his shack, which I thought maybe was the 13-year-old kid that Maya was talking about or something that they were joking about. And it turned out to be his son for real or some crap like that, which I was totally going to be upset about. Wow. But
that would have been interesting. Yeah, I didn't
want that at all, because they couldn't explain. Jarvis could not explain why he went to that particular house and that particular boy. And so I thought it was going to be like, oh, he, you know, locked on to the nearest
DNA's.
Yeah, the DNA. Yeah, I was just like, what?
But wait. I think how did Tony get to that place? Didn't Tony just sort of drag the suit through the woods until he found the nearest shack?
No, and the kid happened to be there? He had went underwater. Remember, the house exploded, right? Which was awesome.
That was beautiful.
He went underwater, and then all of a sudden he's flying, and he wakes up. And he's just like, we need to land. And then they just land. So we don't know how he got from underwater to tennis.
I do remember that. Now, I know how he got to the crash landing point, because before all of the chaos had broken out, he had begun his, quote, detective work with Jarvis back there. And he told him, he said, give me a flight plan to Tennessee, because that was where the crime of the, quote,
right.
So what happened, you know, and come on, you got a supercomputer Jarvis that has been, you know, your sidekick the whole time. If you're unconscious, which I assume had happened, you know, when he popped out from under the ocean and he's in the Iron Man suit and he's flying toward Tennessee, I assume Tony was unconscious at that point, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, for a variety of reasons, come on, Jarvis can land a suit, or, you know, Jarvis could have, you know, sat down at a local gas station or something. He's not going to sit there while you're unconscious and just go, I'm going to wait till the power runs out. Then, you know, I'm maybe going to wake him up when he hits a deer and falls into the street. You know, I was like, what's going on?
And take a poncho from a wooden Indian.
Yeah, okay. See, that was very unbreakable. But I let it go.
Like, why was that even in the film?
Don't go there. No. But so that's why he was in Tennessee. That's what was going on there.
Right, I forgot.
But I think he just kind of drugged the suit, you know, into the nearest shack, and the kid was there.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. But oh man, yeah, that would have been a little too ironic if the kid had happened to be his son.
I would have been upset or irritated, at least. We would have complained
about it. And I agree with you totally. That would have been a little too much. But I'm not sold on why we needed the kid.
Because what was it? Was it PG-13, this film, or PG? What was it? Do you know? Let me Google it right quick.
All right, yeah. But
yeah, listen to this gray radio, guys.
State of the art, filling time now. Filling time. While we're searching. Let's see. Listen to the silent keys. No one knows what you were doing right now.
But, and I got, like, books and stuff everywhere, so I'm having to claw through all that to get through the...
You know, kids like Iron Man. You don't have to sell it to kids. When I was a kid, I didn't like things that were sold to me as a kid's movie. I like, you know,
it is
action...
PG-13.
PG-13. So, yeah, the kid was even barely old enough to get in. So, I'm not sure. So, but anyway, so, it, yeah, that's... I have issues with the kid. But you're always talking about popcorn movies, okay? I cannot say... That, you know, Iron Man 3 made powerful statements about man's inhumanity to man. All right. I also cannot say that this was the best, you know, conflict between villain and superhero that I've seen in 10 years. I can't say that either. But the story, it was a little slow, but it was interesting. And it was tied together with moments of real hilarity and exciting little clusters of things that were unique and fun. But you know, it was fun. This is what I would call a popcorn movie. This is what I call a popcorn.
So
movie.
Would you like this over Battleship? Because I'm sorry. Don't just ignore that. Yeah.
How do you do it? So, yeah, this is what I call an enjoyable popcorn movie.
What are you talking about? You liked Battleship.
It was okay. But
we've been defending it the whole time. Just stop it.
No Iron Man 3. I'll put it that way.
I think this was a decent one, and it's fun to watch. And
I liked it more than two. I liked it more than two.
Really?
Yep.
Because I think we got more information in two, which I like, backstory on his dad and stuff.
Probably, I agree with that.
So I really like that.
I will say, history-wise... Two was better, but I just mean in terms of sheer entertainment value, there were so many more suits, so much more explosions. There was
but they had the dancing girls, and you had Hammer Industries, and that was like really funny to me.
Hammer was funny. I thought it was funny, which is why Guy Pearce was sort of like a knockoff of Hammer, and just you know, except he went the bio route. Still, no.
Yeah, and. I just felt that this film was a little smaller.
Really?
For Iron Man 3? Yeah, it felt like 2, 1 and 2 felt epic, and this one felt, I don't know, smaller.
I'll give you 1, I think, felt bigger. 2, because it was Battle of the Industrialists in 2, so, you know, with the angry Russian thrown in. Yeah, I guess you're right. It is smaller. It is smaller.
All in North Carolina.
Well, I mean that's not what made it small, but
it was in America.
Yeah, all right. See, that's not what made it small. But yeah, okay, I agree. But I still think that 3 just had more stuff happening in it. It just was a little bit.
Yeah, but
more.
It felt like, you know, they was trying to throw a lot of crap at the wall to see what stick, not because there was just it was epic and grand.
Well, that is true too. That is true. There and you know, that was my complaint about the multiple suits. Because, you know, if you've got 3 helicopters blowing up your house and you have a basement full of super robots, you might want to turn one or two on. You know, at that point, you know, your girlfriend's got your suit, you're falling off the balcony. Hey, Jarvis, hook a dude up, right? You know, can't you turn one other suit on to try to stop some things?
Yeah, that is a really big problem.
Oh,
with
really?
The story, yeah. Because yeah. I just now realized that, and now it's stupid because...
Listen,
I mean, they were.
I was going to bring this up because you accused me of nitpicking things, so I wasn't going to say anything because you always
no,
say.
No, this is a safe space for you, Carl.
Thank you, Am I being embraced?
Yes, you are. Come to Mama, give me a hug. Okay.
I've got the talking stick here. Okay, so that's So there you go. That's
Let's have some truth falls.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
Or whatever you want to call. Anyway,
my name is Carl, and. I've been here for 4 years now. I'm just wanting to share. So my beef, yes, that super suits. Because look, he didn't have one or two. Well, you know, at the end, when them suits came out the basement, And they were all different kinds. I mean, they were like the
Hulkster. I thought they were looked the same, but I wasn't.
No. Look. That's what I was saying. Where I love to watch the innovations of the suits, and why I felt a little bit cheated. I agree with you. Was throwing everything in the kitchen sink, because when we saw all of the suits popping up in the end, and they're battling the extremist crew. The thing is, they each had different powers. One suit was like super muscular, like a big one. One was some kind of crazy wireframe thing, and each one was different, and they were his different experiments. But you don't get to know what it was he was experimenting on. You get these gross sort of like, oh, that one is strong, or that one is faster, or that one does. And so, but it was so fast, and you didn't get a chance to see it. And of course, in a grand gesture, he decides to blow them all up at the end of the movie.
So useless. Like, why would you do that?
Because he's got to show his woman that, Pepper, you're number one for me. I mean, sure, you're some kind of a mutant now, and you're on fire and stuff, and my only superpower is all of my suits. But because I want to show you that I love you, girl, I'm going to blow up all my suits to make a dramatic, romantic fireworks display in the background over all of these monsters that we never know if they actually die or not. Don't worry about it, baby. I got you. So.
Oh, it's so romantic.
Yeah. I mean, sure, I got two robot arms in the swamp I'm going to fish out later, but don't worry about it, baby. My 43 suits are frozen.
Woo. Yeah, that was a bit ridiculous. And to top it off, at the end of the movie, he got the shrapnel removed from his heart. Yeah. So
what's up with him now? Is he still iron? What's up with Pepper? Is she cured? What's going on? Maybe the next movie is going to be Pepper Man.
No. Absolutely not.
She's breathing fire. No, I'm totally at home,
sir.
Now.
No,
take
sir.
Care of the kids.
I did enjoy seeing her do her superhero thing and saving the day. That amused me. I enjoyed that.
Yes. Well, I like Gwyneth Paltrow. She's fun in most things. So seeing her finally coming to the rescue, she rescues Tony. That was a fun twist, and yeah, that was
fun. This fool, all he said was, "Why you don't dress like that around the house?"
Sports
bra. And I was like, "Dude, really?"
Oh, by the way, when she was about to be injected with the extremist mutagen or whatever, don't you love the strategic placement of the harness? Just kind of going right across the chest there. That's how all villains do. Mm-hmm. Whenever the woman is in jeopardy, mm-hmm. and she's of course stripped down for some reason, because when the woman's in danger, she's always got to be halfway naked. Then when she's all lashed down or whatever, the suit, it's got to just strategically cover her in one or two places. So, classic villainy.
Well, he said that she was a trophy, so which was embarrassing for him. They made him twirl a mustache too much, Guy Pearce, in this.
Really? You think?
It's just
Yeah, that was when the Mandarin was playing second in terms of scale to Aldridge. Yeah, he was really kind of hamming it up there.
Yeah.
Because look, if there was a motivation that really made sense, I could have gotten behind him. That's part of what, when you see the villain being crazy, you want to know what made him crazy. And
so we got that in Iron Man 2. So like, what do you think? Yeah. It was execution that you didn't like about the second one, or what was, because he had an interesting backstory. His father and that guy's father were doing something, stole research, blah, blah, blah.
Yep. That backstory was great. I like that. He just didn't have enough really resources to back him. Now, he had Hammer come in, but it didn't feel like his. It was so like he had the proper anger, and I thought the anger for him, Vanko, was good. But all he's doing is walking around with laser whips tearing up stuff. Vanko, the idea was, by teaming up with Hammer, he was supposed to have brought the sufficient, pain down on Tony. But because, Hammer and Vanko never really got along, it didn't crystallize as a real solid threat. And the fact that Vanko and Hammer were fighting, it never really seemed like a credible anger. You know, and like I said, at the scene at the beginning of the movie, which was so cool, because I thought Mankiw was so cool looking. You know, he was cool looking. He had a legitimate anger. But, you know, you come after Iron Man with some whips in a wide open street. You know, you got to come up with a better plan than
that. Yeah, but he was kind of handing Iron Man's ass to him, especially towards the end when he was getting his butt kicked and they thought they had, like, nuked him or something like that. And the only way to take this guy out was to do the best friend fist bump or whatever that they did
across
at the end.
The street.
Yeah.
But see, that was not good. All right, you know,
I was scared for him though, but I was literally scared. Yes,
yeah,
literally
was scary.
Yeah, I was scared. Yes. I felt it, but this I just felt like it's just a film.
And we didn't even get time enough to really fear the Mandarin. I mean, just about the time we were, you know, Mandarin made maybe like two threats. And then by the third threat, he's drinking a beer. That was it. You know, they bust in, he's drinking a beer. He's got the girls in bed. And that was it.
I knew something was wrong with his voice and something was wrong with his nose. And I just didn't. I didn't believe him, you know, from the beginning, because it was just too weird.
Yeah.
For some reason. I don't know. Something was off. So I don't know.
All right. So I'm going to throw this last thing in. And then just. Okay. All right, so when I watch movies and I see the previews, I can't help but start to build what I think is going to happen. You know, it's not a spoiler, but, you know, when you're watching it and you see the little clips, you're going, ooh, what does that mean? What does that mean? The previews for Iron Man 3 show that scene where Tony is in bed with Pepper and she's trying to wake him up. And she turns and the Iron Man suit is right there on her, you know, just coming down. And we were like, oh, you know, what's going on? Now, when I see that and when I saw that in the preview, I thought that this villain, whoever the villain was, Mandarin, whoever it was in this movie, I said, oh man, the villains have gotten into an Iron Man suit or have hacked Jarvis. And
ooh, that would have been good.
Jarvis and the villain were going after Tony. And so when I saw it, see, because we knew it wasn't Tony in the suit.
See,
so we knew right away.
Oh my God.
So that is what I was kind of, you know, I didn't want to believe it because I was really excited about that prospect. Man, you know, can you imagine an evil Jarvis going after Tony? Man, that would have been some...
That's why I don't like spoilers, because our imagination is way better than Hollywood's imagination. Yep. Now, see, I want to see your movie.
So for it to have actually been a dream. Yeah, I mean, you see...
It was him having a panic attack.
But he was asleep. But see, it was not... The villain hadn't even gotten in the suit. For that to have actually been a dream, I feel like I was totally, when I saw that in the movie, I was like, oh man, you know, I was totally feeling cheated. But you know, that's you see how that would have been kick ass. But anyway, I just so hey, look, Hack Jarvis next one. I don't know, whatever.
Well,
man.
You know, I suspect the Thor movie is gonna be really good.
I'm sure you think the Thor movie is gonna be good.
I don't know about the Captain America film, because you know that first one, how we felt about that one.
Well, it can only go up. It can only get better.
Yeah, because he was excellent in the Avengers film. So I
fun. Yeah, it could only be better.
I hope so. Well, I don't know, Iron Man. So
I still like it better than two, though. I'm sorry. It's just more fun.
I like them evenly, two and three evenly.
All right. All right.
For some reason. So, I don't know. So next up, we're going to do update on my Defiance viewing. I watched the pilot last night and, I have some notes here. Let me read you some of my notes. So my pet peeve when it first started opening was, if you're driving on TV, please don't move the steering wheel so much.
Yeah, that was a totally natural driving shot there. I mean, that did not look special effect matted at all. I mean, look, not only was that wheel, you know, that standard twist, you know, thing going on, not only was that happening, but the backdrop, you could almost see the lint on the film as it was flickering in the back. I was like, God, guys, come on. I'm with you. Totally with you.
So that was my first remark, because I was just like, once I saw that, I was like, I need to write some of this snark down. And so I said, made up curse words, Earth That Was, Firefly, not original, but I don't hate it. There was some terrible music being sung in the car that was sounding like country or something, then I gave it a negative one, but then they put on Rebreather, so I gave it a plus one. I said it feels like Farscape, not as endearing, but the costuming and wardrobing is intriguing. So that's when I started leaning in. And shut it up.
There is this one guy. I'm sorry, I don't know if you've seen him yet, but he looks like a steampunk parrot. I don't know what, there's fur, there's leather, there's the big hat and the flip glass. I don't know what is going on.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah.
I did want to talk to you a little bit about the costuming because.
Well, because this is my next one. All right, my ink guy is carrying an alien with a Michael Jackson jacket through the woods of Planet Vancouver. The forest. Beasts look better than anything on Falling Skies.
Yeah,
why would they call it Defiance? Just keep calling it St. Louis because it has the freaking arch. So whatever. I said it was starting to feel like Terra Nova. And then I got really distracted because Julie Benz showed up and she had on a great dress.
Julie
then,
good.
Yeah, they had a Romeo and Juliet action going on between the two kids of the small town rivals. The lead guy went to show he was a badass. He broke out of the cuffs. He's half Han Solo, not the half that I want. War talk.
I'm not touching that one. Not touching that at all. That,
but that's just what I said. I was said that I'm really glad they had scotch in the future. I said I need some now. then there was like, I said, this town is interesting. It looks something out of Sanctuary. Then I was like, you know, I'm going to stop comparing this show to other sci-fi shows, except that I needed to point out that Chewbacca Klingon hybrid that was tailing the mystical white hair alien couple.
Yeah.
So there was that, the club and the atmosphere and the brothel and then the fight club. I started really getting into the world of the city because we kept going to different locations. And so that's when I stopped writing because it started to pull me in. And I really enjoy the different aliens because they have just more than one. They have a little backstory between a lot of the little aliens. The town looks gorgeous. The costumes look amazing. I mean, I'd totally want to intern on this show if I could, but it's just, it looks really, really good. And the pilot was a really great first showing. It had a weird start, but by the end of it, I was like, you know, whoever made this pilot and however, you know, whatever they were doing, they should really be proud of that pilot. Yeah, it might not be perfect because that battle at the end.
The fact that I keep having to say Helm's Deep, I'm tired. I'm not even going to say it. So I'm not going to say it. But the fact that I have had to say that like four times with big epic battles in sci-fi. So I'm not going to say it. I'm just
it was
interesting.
Helm's Deep in a video game. And I was just, it
yeah.
was a video game.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. They've got a tight budget. And so their effects are just on that edge. The scene where you see the cars driving from the outside and oh man, yeah. I'm like, is this from the video game, guys? Yeah, you can see it.
The video game, they show like footage of the video game and then they like pan back over to like the humans doing stuff and shooting. Like the same four humans that were talking in the whole TV show the whole time. Those are the same four humans that are going to battle. And I was like, that's convenient.
Look. we have survived classic Doctor Who. So I am totally with you on these things. I'm trying to, you know, we're looking past those things because we want to give them a fair shot and let things go. But I'm telling you, you could feel the tight budget and the edge of the special. And I find it strange because, you know, when we see even shows like Eureka, especially toward the end, they really tightened up their special effects, big special effects. They were always able to do small things, you know, little explosions and lasers and little gadgets. But toward the end of Eureka, they really got the big special effects right. So, you know, with that experience and that kind of history, especially being on sci-fi, I thought that Defiance was going to be a little bit more seamless.
Why would you think that?
Well, because
an unproven show is based on a game, it's sci-fi, they're not going to spend money on that stuff when it's not going to be proven. And I thought it was a good first showing of the pilot, and you know that means it's going to get canceled. So,
Well, I think they've got enough. I think from a spending standpoint, they are pacing themselves. I just thought that, like I said, by the end of Eureka, the special effects are supposed to build on themselves over time, and they get cheaper to make good. So I thought at least, you know, they'd share some notes or something. They'd pass a letter around, you know, from the old team to say, look, we've been doing this, you know, for however long Eureka was on. Here are a couple of notes on, you know, how you can do the same kind of things at a larger scale. And it'll be even cheaper for you because we ran on a bunch of Macs, you know.
But, you know, for the special effects, it looked like they spend way more money on the town and the costume.
Yes, indeed. I agree. Yep.
And I think they could have cut the battle and just left it in the town because the battle really didn't add anything for me other than them, yeah, at the end, you know, that, you know what
that,
I'm saying.
That was,
We didn't need that, but I thought what they had going on in the town was just so much more interesting, and they really created a gorgeous space. I mean, it wasn't expensive or anything, but they used a lot of lighting and rubber bands, and they just did it just right. And it was just, I really enjoyed the set design and the costuming, and the actors weren't bad either. I've never seen most of these people except for like a couple, like the two ladies.
She was in
H.G. Wells. Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And of course, Julie Benz. And I think I've seen the sister somewhere before. And, you know, we've seen these guys on like Stargate or something doing guest spots, you know, these several actors. Mm-hmm. But I think these guys did, for the limited budget that I think they had, I think they did a really good job with it. Now, if it'll last, but, you know, they could put it on their reel and say, hey, we did something awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really thought, I was waiting to hear your opinions on the set design and the costuming, because you can tell they put a lot of time into creating that believable space. So I'm 100% with you on that. My criticism with the costuming is, even though you got it looks great, you have to make it functional. And some of the stuff going on with the costuming, it
does,
it
does,
I'm
not
at it,
need to be
and
functional.
It doesn't make sense.
That's,
you know, like, what?
Fine.
What?
But that's,
you know,
the
fur on a warrior? Really? You know, I just, but at least it's different. You know, like, because it is definitely different what they are doing.
Wasn't that you who told me it was Farscape guys involved or something?
Yep, one of them. At least
one of them.
Of them.
Okay. Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, whatever he's involved in, I think it has to be some sort of directing or something. Well, I feel the Farscape, and I like it.
As the series goes on, and I think we talked about this a little bit before, as the series goes on, you'll see that they do a lot in terms of background and foundation and character, you know, building in terms of the environment. I don't mean the physical environment. I mean where the motivations of the characters are coming from. Mm. They do focus on that. Now, for me, you know, that is good, but it has to be balanced with other stuff. Otherwise, it becomes a soap opera. So I'm hoping, you know, that Defiance finds that right balance. But
what other stuff do you mean? Explosions?
Well, explosions are important, but it's you know, there's a difference between soap operas and you know what the story sci-fi can tell. So
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Do more than just give me, you know, the soap opera.
Well,
stuff.
Carl, you know it's cheaper to sit around and talk.
Well,
so.
Yes, and that's how you get canceled. That, because if I want to sit around and watch people talk, I'll turn to Young and the Restless or I'm just talking. Yeah, you know, I don't know, but you know, or whatever ER or whatever. So you know, I'll watch something that that's why I'm having trouble thinking of these things, because I just need something that's pure drama and it's got that foundation.
Let's be a little bit more recent. Yeah.
But point is you know, if this is sci-fi, so you know they, from what I have seen so far, because I'm not going to spoil it for you and what's coming up, but you know, the character development is pretty good on Defiance, and you do get a feel for the background and the history of where these characters are coming from with their motivations and politically what's going on in the city and all of that. That's good, but you still need some more stuff going on to make the series exciting and to make it interesting and more unique. But they've got a good foundation, and you have seen that, right? Yes, you can see it in the first two episodes that they're trying.
So. Okay, well, we'll give them a little bit more time to see if they don't totally bomb out. What, like, where are you? Because I know the season finale is coming up. Are you, like, caught up?
Yeah, I'm caught up.
Wow, so you're still watching?
Yeah, okay. No, I've been watching the whole time. So yes.
Okay, interesting. Okay, good. Are you going to start with Falling Skies in the third season of Falling Skies?
See, I was going to ask you.
I don't feel like it. I am not enthusiastic.
I know.
I don't want to. Because they make a good... They like Smallville, where their finales and premieres are really awesome, but the stuff in between... It's kind of hit or miss sometimes.
Nugent needs help.
Well, I don't think it is. Was there any hitting, or was there a lot of missing?
You mean with last season's Falling Skies?
With the whole thing.
I'm sorry. Well, it wasn't terrible. See, the first season,
you use that same tone of voice when we talked about Heroes. I don't think I want to hear whatever's coming next out of your mouth.
Look, you've been there right there with me. So the point is with Falling, the first season of Falling Skies had a low budget, it had a low budget vacuousness that was frustrating. I was like, all right, if they can make it through this season, they'll have a couple of bucks. Because, God, remember how bad the special effects were just even in the pilot? Okay, so here's how we compare. Think about Falling Skies pilot, which has got freaking Steven Spielberg associated with it. Remember how awful the aliens were in that pilot?
I told you right here. These aliens look better than Falling Skies aliens right there.
Okay, you're right. I mean, it just came back to me from the discussion. So, you know, with that, I kept thinking, with a couple of more bucks, that, you know, at least they're going to be able to hold the special effects together. And so then the second season came around, and everywhere it just started getting interesting. They would cut stuff off. Like, you know, the guy that died, his character was bordering on being interesting, but they kill him off. And then, you know, the city, they were trying to find the underground town. Oh, you know, there's maybe the quest for the underground city. Then they got there. I was like, "Oh, this is lame." You know, it's like every time they almost got it, something went off the rails and made it not so great. And so the effects did get better in the second season, but it just didn't. You know,
barely. You remember in the second season was the one where Noah Wiley was like holding up an alien and a rubber alien and pretending to be one at one point, and they didn't think we noticed, and then he got shot and then blah blah.
Well, look, and let's not forget the climactic. I'm doing that with a double quote. The climactic finale, you know, where they finally got in the power station and they run inside and the aliens are on the wall.
I forgot. No. With the finale, what do you mean they were on the wall?
The aliens were running along the wall when they broke into the alien nest. You know, the big den in the center just before they were going to blow.
I don't know.
Well, don't worry. It was not. It was anticlimactic. Was the problem? We had gotten really excited about they're going to blow something up. They're going into the headquarters of the aliens, and they're going to go in there, and they get in there, and there's this discussion. You know, that goes on. Oh, remember when I saved you, dude? You know what's up? And he's like, no, but you got to die now. And
oh yes, that crap.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, that's that cowboys and aliens stuff.
There you go.
Yeah,
there
no.
So, no. Yeah. So, you know, like, is it hits?
Yeah. I was joking.
I'm trying to find them.
Let's talk about something exciting. So, did you watch the season finale of Doctor Who?
Sure.
We talked about it, didn't we?
We did. Oh yeah. Wait, did we? Did you do one?
Okay. Yeah, we did one, and it was in our feed vomit.
Okay,
remember? All right. And I put like 12 shows up in 1 week or something. I don't know. That was last week, folks. Yay!
Yeah. But you posted like 8 shows in a week, so I know. that was history.
So I had a minor, I think, anxiety attack because we then learned a few a week later that Matt Smith is leaving the show, not in a year, which was once rumored, which I thought when they said, "Oh, Matt Smith's leaving the show," I was like, "Whatever, we knew that. We'll see him at 2000 at the end of 2014. We got a whole year with him." No, they meant at the end of this year, which there's two more episodes of Matt Smith. I'm freaking out.
Hasn't really. I read someplace that he's been doing Who. He's been Who for 4 years now. Has it been 4 years?
Yeah.
Really? It totally doesn't feel like that to
It
me.
doesn't. It feels like two.
Yeah. It's that space time anomaly kicking in.
Yeah.
It only. I swear, it only feels like two.
So what we witnessed was perhaps a regeneration of some sort, and we didn't even know it. I just thought, since I thought he was leaving at the end of 2014, that this some weird, story that was going to be resolved in one episode and we would be done with it. But no. Some weirdness is going to happen.
I'm hoping that wasn't a regeneration, because they tend to do it with a bit more fanfare. And honestly, this guy has not been subtle over the past two seasons of Doctor Who. I can't believe that that would be the regeneration that we've seen,
I
but.
think that there's some speculation that he may not be the official Dr. John Hurt, but
Okay.
that they've been stringing us along and that Clara might be the next doctor.
Interesting.
Now, see, I would like her character immediately a lot more if that were the case, because then I would understand why she's been injected to the into the entirety of the history of Doctor Who himself, and why she has such a lackluster, low-key sort of feeling for me.
Reaction.
Like, no, she just seems so low-key, and like something's being held back, and so, I don't know what. But if she's the doctor, then Moffat is a genius. If she's not the doctor and some other dude is, I'll just go with that too. But if he's been, manipulating us and pulling all these strings and that just to make her the next boy, wow.
Well, I have always wanted to see a woman doctor, so that would be intriguing. That would be really intriguing.
Because I think one of the initial things that I didn't like her because she felt like she was on par with the doctor. She felt just as snippy as the doctor and very clever and very doctorish. And so I was just like, well, they're competing and they're kind of the same per I don't know. And
And her incarnations I found a bit more interesting than who she is in the show right now.
yeah.
She in the Dalek
My favorite.
prison. That's my favorite version of
I
her.
loved her.
And I mean, because she was smart and she was funny and she was engaging. And so I agree that it feels like the character that she is now is being held back. Like we're not seeing her full potential. I hope that something happens where we finally, we get the unleashed Clara, and she's going to be bigger and richer, and maybe even the doctor. Maybe that would be pretty exciting if that happens. But yeah, I gotta say, Matt has been good as Doctor Who, but I he hasn't been my favorite. He's not been my favorite doctor. And one thing that I don't know, and maybe I've just seen the wrong kind of press or whatever, but when you compare Tennant offset to Matt Smith offset, what I mean by that is when you see Tennant interviewed during the series and after the series, you got a genuine passion from him for Doctor Who. I mean, it was like he loved the fans. He couldn't stop talking about it. He was really excited about the role and all the stuff that was going on. That's why I hated to see him go, because I love to see the
I cried.
actors have a genuine passion for the science fiction the same way that we do. When I see Matt Smith doing interviews and outside, he comes across as sort of like, well, I'm taking this as a role, and I'm doing a good character, and I'm really focusing on the development of this character as I would any Shakespearean role. And I don't feel that he has that same kind of nutty connectedness with the actor, I mean, with the character that is Doctor Who, has some of the past Doctor.
Well, he was just born like yesterday, so he wouldn't know anything about the Doctor enough to be that fanatic about it.
But even after he's been the Doctor for 4 years now.
Yeah, but I don't know. He gives me that Patrick Stewart vibe with Star Trek. Like, he does it because that's what he does, but mm-hmm. he's not of it.
Well, okay, but that's not.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, that bothers me, though.
Me, but he's out, so yeah, we don't have to deal with it anymore.
Well, maybe that's why he's out. You know, he's like, well, I'm ready to go back.
He's pulling a little Christopher Eccleston on us, huh?
Maybe. That's frustrating. Come on, actors. You can't be dissing the stuff that puts you on the map now. Come
on. They'll, in like 30 years... yeah. Eccleston will be back when he has like a gut and no hair.
Trying to be, like Denise Crosby. I was on Star Trek. Remember?
In the first season, and I was murdered, and now I'm trying to milk it for all it's worth. And they won't put me in a movie no matter how much I beg.
Shouldn't have left. Racing people. So, yes, that was shocking news, though, when I heard it. I was like, what? Oh, man.
I knew he was leaving, but I thought it was at the end of 2014. And when I realized that we only have two more episodes with this guy, I was not good with that because, like, that took me by surprise. I mean, it was even more shocking than seeing John Hurt because that amused me.
Yeah. Jeez, what else is going to come out?
I don't know.
What else is coming out of the time, Gooch?
That's why I think it's going to be Clara, because if we're seeing some sort of regeneration, Matt Smith only has two. We haven't heard anything about anything, nothing. What are they going to pull out of their hat in two episodes? I'm upset. Like, I woke up in the middle of the night and it came to me that it was only two more episodes because I had read an article. Mm-hmm. And then somebody sent a tweet like, only two more. And I was like, what do you mean two more? I thought they said at the end of the year, but I mean it next year. This year?
Yep. That's kind of tough.
I had bad dreams, man. My foot was inside my head. I needed to talk with somebody, but I shook it off.
So, that's it. Yes, it worked. It's a sci-fi party line therapy. We need it.
Speaking of more therapy.
Yes.
Let's talk about last night's Game of Thrones. Now, I promised Lori I was going to talk about this with her, but there's still one more episode, so I'll get her on, Lori, and we'll talk about it. But Carl's here. He watches. Ooh. Man.
Yeah, see, okay, so, I haven't read the story, there is this ongoing dialogue that the folks who read the books knew this was coming, and they're laughing at us, who haven't read it and just got blindsided by all of this.
We got the last laugh because they had something extra in last night's episode that was not in the books.
Really? Oh, what was it then? I haven't read it.
That was the mother getting stabbed 3 times in the belly in her baby.
Yeah, that was impolite. Wasn't it really? That was just... I mean, wow.
I have never seen anything so horrifying in my life. I am truly traumatized, Carl.
You know what bothered me most about that? It was the eye contact. It was the eye contact while it was occurring. She's just looking and it's like, I know this is happening and there's nothing that I can do about it. Harsh. It was harsh.
Like, what was happening inside the writer's room when this went down, man?
I don't know.
What's wrong with these people?
I don't know. What? I mean, look, I haven't been this traumatized since the adult breastfeeding. So, I mean, I wouldn't write. Okay. I just was not write after this.
That was extremely disturbing. So, and then, like, it turned into, like, the last few minutes turned into, like, an episode of Spartacus. It was weird.
Yeah.
Like, throat slit, blood going everywhere, Caitlin, and like, it's like, what were the Starks there for at all? Because all of them are getting killed off. They don't have a home anymore. They're all spread out across Westeros or whatever you want to call it, Middle Earth. And what is happening?
Yeah, that's some chaos right there. That's one ugly wedding. That is an ugly wedding. It's just So yeah, now, and that's gonna have me on, you know, kind of pins and needles now. Wherever I'm at a wedding and people close the doors behind me, it's off. I'm gonna lose it right there. I'm gonna tell you, don't be closing the doors. I'm gonna need an exit if you're at your wedding.
They close the doors and play somber music.
No,
head for the door. Like, so, and then, you know, so, yeah. I kind of felt that. Was it Robb Stark was going to die because he started getting all likable and talking and stuff? He was like T-Dog of Game of Thrones.
Yep. He's, all of a sudden, his character was getting real developed fast. He's like, oh, no.
I knew he was going to kick the bucket. I just felt it. But I didn't think Catelyn was going to die. And then I didn't think the woman was going to get stabbed in the belly in the baby.
Harsh.
That's the worst thing I've ever... I was like, these people are savages. What is up with these people?
Yeah, what? Yeah. And King Dude, were you getting the whole Lord of the Rings flashbacks, too? You know, when he's sitting up there on the throne, like, oh, this is my party and it's on now.
Man, he's cranky from Harry Potter still.
Yes. Anger management necessary.
And then he was just like, with his daughters, the way he talked about them and stuff, that was uncomfortable.
My name is Mary, sir. Whatever.
This one, she hadn't fled yet, but blah, blah. I was just like, what is happening with this? Why is this?
Worst pageant ever.
They were some dogs, though.
It was rough. You saw the dude in the background. He was like, any man would be so lucky to have any of these women. He's like, you know, he's elbow.
I was like, they looking a little rough. I don't know. And they were like, who is this pretty one? I didn't even see her in the lineup. They must have.
Yeah. That was Cinderella. They had her in the back there somehow.
Yeah. I don't know, man. But then, like, he was so upset. His pride was so stepped on that he decided that he was going to stab a pregnant woman.
Just gonna kill off the whole baby. Just kill off the family. I'm pissed. I was not invited to their party. I'm trying to get married in. Y'all lied to me. Come to my party. I got something for you. Yeah.
But, I mean, you're still part of the family with the one that got married, is he gonna die or what?
I don't know.
They killed the damn dog.
Oh, yeah, that was harsh, too. They were outside, and they just took out the wolves. So, yeah.
It was the most, like, I haven't been this traumatized since I watched True Blood, and that one vampire was having sex with that other vampire, and during sex, he broke her neck, and then they still was, it was still... Did you see that? That was horrifying. I've never seen it. Like, on HBO, you are guaranteed to see something that will traumatize you.
Yeah, well.
And you're paying for it.
Yes, well, see, that's part of the fun, you see. No.
I don't... Why am I watching this show? Because, like, when I started watching it, I thought that it was going to be mysterious and there was going to be some supernatural stuff in it because of the White Walkers. You know, I'm still focused on those stupid White Walkers.
Yep. Yeah. We were expecting, admittedly, and I was right there with you at the beginning, we were expecting dragons and zombies, you know, and that kind of thing happening in the series.
Oh,
and,
no.
And it has become... you know, an epic Lord of the Rings scale soap opera kind of thing going on. We're trying to keep track of family members, and you know, like, it's the hardest thing about doing the show. We don't know nobody's name. We just have to. You remember the dude with the fur? Yeah, the one who sees in the wolf's eyes. Hey guys, you know, we got to yell out crazy descriptors because it's just crazy. And by the time you, especially you and I, we start feeling bad. About the time we get their name, they get killed off anyhow.
Because I didn't know Robb Stark's name until like 4 episodes ago. When he got naked, of course. But you got a little eye candy there for you too. She got naked.
We're trying to keep track of folks, but they just keep killing them off. So now we just like to do it on the left of the screen. Prop guy 5, you know, the one with the suit. We just gave up.
And then the writer George R. R. Martin was like, "Well, if you expect a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention." I'm like, "Motherfucker." And it's gonna be bittersweet. What the hell does that mean?
Ain't no sweet. I wonder what a sweet is. I ain't seen no sweet.
I haven't seen any sweet. Mm-mm. I don't know why I'm still watching.
It's harsh.
Some dudes are just like, I'm out. What? Like, there's a whole people that's just like, you know what? I'm done. That was it.
Right, well, look, my favorite character so far is Arya, and she has, man, you know, that was the roughest part where she was literally at the door, about to see her family. Because I thought that's when the party was going to start. I thought she was going to kick in the door and the party was going to be like, how I did, everybody's going to come together in a happy moment. No. When the Hound becomes the hero, your party is over.
And then right I'm there. Like, why is Joffrey still alive?
Yep. No, because that evil, evil like that persists. He just hangs in there. He's probably gonna make it through the whole series. I bet you Joffrey's just gonna hang out the last episode. He'll like choke on a chicken bone, and that'll be it. We'll be like, no. Although the funny thing is Tyrion will probably have given it to him, so it's all right.
My concern now is like, so what about the war? Like, what is happening now?
Yeah. Well, it's fun that infighting is going on, because we know that, you know, you got a whole army of snow zombies coming towards you. You're duking it out at a wedding. They got some problems on the horizon here. But, you know, come on, we've been waiting for problems on the horizon. When the last season ended, I was like, all right, we're going to see some dragons. Hey, come on now. You know, we saw two dragons burn up two dudes, and that's it. So,
dragons, and we saw one zombie get stabbed with a mystical dagger that was dropped and left.
Yeah, what's the mystical dagger? Is that what was going on there? Because
because he was like going on about, I don't know what it does. I don't know where it came from. My hand, and he pulled out the mystical dagger, stabbed the zombie ice thing, it shattered.
Yeah, went down like the T-1000. So.
At the end of what is that the one with Stallone and Wesley Snipes?
Demolition Man.
or like First Contact.
Yep.
We've seen this ending a lot.
We have. We gotta come up with some better ways to kill all the bad guys and freeze drying them. So yeah, good play. I forgot about that. Let's get on Flash.
Oh, time. It was on Grimm too.
It was? Which one?
When they left.
Yes! Yes! That's right, Grim.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Wow. How is next week? Like, how do they top that? Because, you know, we were all like, oh, look at the blue fire from the war last season. And we was all like, wow, that's so beautiful and blah, blah. We're not getting any beauty this year.
Mm-mm. No. No. I mean, let's not forget, if we revisit the cooch, there was that birthing scene as well in this season. That was not pretty.
What birthing scene?
When the Red Witch pushed out.
See, I thought that was last season.
Was it last season? Oh. Well, see, that ain't pretty anyway. So that's still, really, wow, has that been so far?
That was last season.
So, well, see, that's not a mystical stuff happening, y'all. We need some more mystic stuff happening in this in Game of Thrones, because
I don't think it's gonna happen.
Well, that's kind of what I was hoping for. That's
yeah, no, and I refuse to read the book because this guy, this writer, I think he's a dick. I mean, dude.
Listen, he's just drawing you in and then killing off all the characters that you love.
He's lazy writing to me, though.
What? Well,
he's lazy. If you have to, in order to get a response from your reader, kill someone off. If that's the only way you do it,
I will counter you with. I will counter you with this, though. How many shows have we watched where they killed off characters and we didn't care about them? Though, I mean, I'll admit he's going through these people like they're disposable, but at least the folks are interesting. Something about them has pulled us in one way or another. We've seen too many things where they use killing people off as a ploy, and clearly we don't care. There's nothing of value about the characters that are going down. So I'm not, you know, I won't call it lazy writing. I'll call it frustrating. It sure is frustrating because
I'll retract my lazy writing on that.
But still, you know, it would be nice to let us bond with some folks. Let it hang around somebody, please.
Yeah, I mean, like, I let Sean Bean go. You know what I'm saying? But that's like the wash of Firefly. He's like the wash of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
We kept going, it got good, but I don't know what you're doing, man. And this bittersweet ending that he's talking about, I'm starting to get pissed off because that doesn't sound positive at all.
Still waiting for the sweet.
Yeah, has there been a sweet? What's been a sweet moment? Can we recount the sweet moments in Game of Thrones?
I can think of. I mean, loss of hands, the breakup of the crew. We got dude got led back to his own prison cell. I mean, where's the sweet?
Oh my god!
Ain't no sweet. That dude has got some bad luck. Ain't nothing he is doing working out.
So who does that one soldier chick? Who does she serve now?
Yeah, I don't know. At least she's alive, though. At least she's alive. Mm-hmm. That was questionable.
And she kept her, quote, fingers on her.
Yeah. Like you said, she kept her fingers and her honor. Yeah. I mean, in this series, you can't count on any of that. Seriously, dude's just having a conversation, chopped his hand off. Was that necessary? Was that really necessary?
Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker.
You can make your point another way. You know, and then tied it around his neck like a necklace. Here you go. March home to your family. Harsh. Harsh. Game of Thrones.
I just can't believe we saw a pregnant woman get stabbed in her...
Repeatedly. Not once in all.
I can't watch that again. That was... I can't watch that again.
They just named it. They had just named it. Yeah.
I guess that's what we should. It's Eddard. We should have known.
Yep. A loving moment on Game of Thrones. The mother actually looked happy for a moment. Oh crap! Here we go.
In the way he talked to her? Oh, so this is the one. Oh, yeah, I'd get, because she, you know what he said to her. I was just like, this guy is a piece of work.
Yeah.
Is he? Oh, my God.
Well, although, now, there is one thing that I found sweet in this particular season of Game of Thrones.
Oh, what? Pray tell.
Well, there is a character called, I think her name is Missandei. She is was the former assistant of the slave owner that Daenerys went in there.
Her presence in this series
is a welcome. I mean, I find her acting style quite...
You know what? And that's our show, folks.
And she pulls me in.
Give us a call at 873-4231. scifipartyline.com.
I mean, that is just a light. It's a beacon for me, I must say, at Game of Thrones.
Just stop talking, dude.
Ladies in charge. Second in command.
No, she's not. She's still a slave.
She's smart. She's free now. She's free. She just knows she's free.
She's still serving bowls of fruit.
She's an ambassador and cultural liaison. So bring it, girl. That's right. Teach us something.
I dislike you right now.
Fabulous.
Whatever.
Yes. Sorry.
I would go on about the Unsullied number one, but he not that much to talk about.
Oh, not too bad.
Yeah, so Game of Thrones, ladies and gentlemen. we're traumatized. Hey, you know, if you're traumatized too, send us a tweet. Let us know. I know you've been sending us tweets on Twitter about your trauma, you're being traumatized and needing to breathe in paper bags and WTFs. Those were highly enjoyable. Blues fan and, oh great, I don't have Twitter in front of me, but thank you guys for tweeting us. SciFiPartyLine.com if you want to go old school and leave a comment on a website. I know, it's so ancient. It's like sending a letter with a stamp. It's cute. Do
or
that.
Even better, leave a voicemail message, because Kat loves voicemail messages.
Do we have that anymore?
Don't you have the number?
Let's see, what's the phone number? It's 773-336-2686. See, Charles used to call us, but then he'd like start cooking and leave a voicemail, so those were not usable, so don't do that.
He's got the itis. He was too tired after the ribs.
Oh my God, really? Don't say that on the podcast. Tweet at Sci-Fi Party Line. Send your negative comments to at Robo Minister. Send your love only to me at Bot. We're on Facebook and Google Plus. We are on Stitcher Radio if you use that app. And thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Party protocol. Bye. Woo!
Nothing else. The Sci-Fi Party Line is here to help.
Oh yeah, because we're a party line, and well, no, party lines were used to get dates or something back in the. I forgot the.
Okay, because look, there's also World War Z, which I'm kind of getting excited about.
Kinda. Why are you not already excited about it?
Well, because you know.
Because you know what?
No. Well, I'm just waiting to see. Zombie movies can be really good or really not.
You know? Yeah, I do. But yeah, now you just scared me.
You should go in with a tempered perspective. You can't be just, you know, blindly getting excited, because I just don't know.
Yeah, because I'm all about zombies and because of Walking Dead, but not everybody does Walking Dead.
You know what? We didn't talk about M. Night's. We didn't talk about After Earth.
What's there to talk about? We haven't seen After Earth. It's still recording because it just does that. Sir, do you have to say about a movie that you have not seen?
That we should not see it. I don't want to see it.
You have to see it. I'm not saying you have to see it in theaters. I'm not saying that. We can, you know how you saw Lockout on Netflix or something? You could see that, and as long as you see it by December, by a turd show, because you know that's turd number one.
That's what it's looking like. God. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
I heard that it wasn't that bad. I'm sorry.
See, you couldn't even say it with a straight face. You couldn't even say it with a straight face. Woman, see, you just trying to lead me down the path.
You know what? Branded.
You're trying to get me back for Branded is what it is. I know you.
Branded was, because Lockout wasn't as bad as Branded.
No, but I was mad. I was still mad. You made me pregnant,
and you should have been stabbing me.
It was the eye contact. Like, yeah.
It's just terrible. That is so mean.
Yes.
This crap I've ever had anybody do to me. Now, Stephanie would argue that making her watch Birdemic was...
I dodged that bullet. I still have never seen any Birdemic.
Oh, I'm going to get you.
Never seen a Birdemic.
I'm going to get you.
No Birdemic.
Yeah, you're going to get it. When you least expect it, I'm going to break it out. In fact, I'm loaded on my iPad, so know what, I'm gonna have it always ready for you, and you're gonna have to watch it
Come
because
on,
I'm gonna
guys.
force you.
I thought
I
we
got
were friends. Come
everything.
on now.
Yep,
Come
that's gonna
on.
happen for Brandon. Now even
I think you're just more mouth than trousers.
I dislike you right now.
Yes.
That write somebody and ask them why that line. Who says that? Like,
No one says that.
because that wasn't that. Maybe it was like lost in some translation of a different language. With
I think
no,
I got
that
nothing.
wasn't it. Okay.
Nothing.
So after Earth,
Yes. No one needs to see this film.
I think that there's a lot of things that people are prejudging about this film. Number one, it's valid. M. Night factor. That's valid. You know?
M. Night has made one good movie in 20 years.
That's valid. However, then you have Will Smith, but then that's kind of tainted with him kind of forcing his kid on us. And somebody said, oh, you know, it used to be Hollywood movie stars gave their children convertibles. Now they bless them with vanity movie projects, and I was like, damn, that's harsh.
Well, see, the thing is, Will Smith, he's got, this sort of a big personality, and that's been his persona in a bunch of these films. And what made it so endearing with him is, he started from the bottom, way back in the whole Fresh Prince of Bel-Air days. He had talent, he worked hard. He had built up a fandom over years and years, and when he finally got his chance to get into big movies, he delivered. Will Smith has always been fun. So we can all like him, and we can get behind him and the characters that he's had with these big egos and all that, because we were there with him. From the beginning, we're like, yeah, he's doing good. He's doing great. And now, I'm not going to say everything he's done has been a hit. But that arc in the beginning where, Will was saving Earth every summer for like 5 summers. It was fun. He and he was bringing us some he was bringing us and honestly, to see he was
Save
blazing some
Earth,
new
that was
characters. He was, come on. It was every summer. It's not, I'm
it
gonna save it this year, So that was a fun kind of thing, and we could get behind his development as a character, as an actor, all of that. That was great. In other words, he paid his he earned his stripes, and we really liked him for it.
Oh my
When
God, I just
you
went to his IMDb page. There's an iRobot 2, a Hancock 2, and a Bad Boys 3. Kill me now.
So anyway, we're gonna just so like I said, there in the beginning, he had this great arc and that. So if you're going to show up on a screen with a big ego and be, a big star, you had to earn it. His boy comes out and he tries to have the same kind of scale and swagger that Will Smith does. And you want your boy to do even better than you do and all of that, but it's got to be balanced with the public's anticipation and perspective. And Will Smith is big because the fans like him and we have a history with him. To expect an immediate embrace of Jaden in the same way that we like Will, and I'm not even gonna say this. I'm just gonna put it out there. When Will had worked hard and got his opportunity as an actor and with the roles he got, he delivered. We liked the characters that he played.
Karate Kid was good.
So anyway, so when we
Wait,
see
what? It was very cute. I was surprised.
When we see him
Oh,
roles, I think he needs a little bit more time for the fans to, on his
but he
own.
didn't come up in the hard streets or wherever.
He's got to be in the projects, but he does need a little bit more of his own credibility before the fans are going to embrace him.
But he's so cute. He's like a little,
There are plenty of cute actors out there that don't open, multi-million dollar blockbuster films. They just, they don't. So, that's it. Just
So, I mean, why does he have to be like every other kid? He's Will Smith kid. Will Smith has saved the earth for us plenty of summers. Why can't we save the earth for Will Smith?
Are you kidding me?
I'm what? Not even sure how I strung that together.
I don't even know what to say to that. You know, I charity for the celebrity's son? Is that what you're talking about here?
I'm not saying charity, but I'm just saying let's give him some consideration.
Everybody, especially in Hollywood, it's a very unique role that celebrities are in. They've got to endear the fans first. Whatever you're doing, I don't care whose kid you are or if you're not somebody's kid. Wherever you go, you gotta connect with the fans first. And from the beginning, it hasn't felt like he. And I'm not talking about off camera or anything. I'm just saying the roles that he's played, the back. It doesn't feel like he has really won the fans over. It feels like. You know, the things that he's done, he's been placed there with an expectation that he's going to inherit something. And that ain't going to work. That's not going to work. It doesn't work. You can't make that happen. You got to earn it. So that's up. So there you go. So you got a
Jade vehicle. But I think people were like.
Vehicle written by M. Night. Okay. Really? That's going to win. You think that's going to work? No. I mean, so yes, there was some, you know, preconceived notions going in here, but no. And isn't it interesting? I think it's fascinating that we've come to a place now where we can see a film like this and we can see what's going on. It has absolutely nothing to do with race. Really, you know, I'm not thinking that's really coming into this at all.
Oh, like we need to see it because he's a black person or something.
Or that people are upset with this film because the leads happen to be black.
That's the last problem.
That's what I'm saying. See how we've evolved in America. Isn't it a wonderful time?
We hate a movie a lot of layers before you even get to the race.
We can dislike a film on its own. We don't have to even go there. But yeah, it's...
That's so cute.
Oh, stop it. There are plenty of cute actors, young actors out there.
Did you see him rapping on that show with his dad? It was adorable.
Because it was Jaden, because it was cool to see everybody coming together again. That's why that was cool. If it had been Jaden just busting out rapping, it would have
At first, before we knew, it was really cute. He was like, hello.
No.
Hello.
That's
on our website if you want to see it.
And I did like the video, but not because Jaden was rapping, because it was just good to see everybody coming back. It was so fun to see people just dropping out of the woodwork, everybody from back in the day, and the dance and the song. That was cool. I admit I was starting to do a little of the dance when they started.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
You know, Kimasabe, jump on it. Jump. Oh, that was.
Oh, dear.
I'm doing a hand again. You see? You know what I'm talking about. Lasso.
You're so hilarious. I don't know. I think that because we are reviewers and you are a host of this fine, fine podcast, that you should do your job for the people and see this film so they won't have to. We are sin eaters, and we eat the sins of Hollywood so that our viewers and our listeners can appreciate the sacrifices that we are making. And trust us.
Don't make me do it, Kat. Don't make me do it. Come on. We've been friends a long time now.
We have a tradition on this show. What are we going to review as a turd? Star Trek? I think not.
Can we have a surprising turd? Not one that we could see coming. You know, can't we have a turd that was
I think After Earth is going to be better than you think it is. I think when you come on this podcast after seeing it in December, you're going to be like, you know what, Kat? Yeah, you were right. I'm sorry.
See, folks, I was wondering how long she'd be able to do it with a straight face. You heard she could not even deliver this. And we all know why. She's trying to get me back for Brandon. That's all it is. Y'all know.
I'm going to have a show in December that people can look forward to.
That's an epic
enjoy I turd show. People request this. Mm. Easily. It's our tradition.
Can't we surprise him with a turn, though? An unexpected turn. No one saw coming, is what I'm saying. That's what I want to do. I don't want
to make it through the last, the latest Resident Evil. Was that this year?
I think that was last year.
Oh, damn. Okay. Yeah. Well, I was trying to throw you a freaking bone.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be willing to watch that instead.
Last year, so we can't do it.
I don't care. I will still be willing to see that.
I tried to watch it, but it felt like the other movie, so I was just like,
what, like every other movie at the same time?
Like another Resident Evil that I already saw. I couldn't tell whether I saw it or not.
Sad.
Yeah, that's sad. So I think people are just, the baggage that came with After Earth is preventing people from going in with an open mind. I want to have an open mind.
Fool me once.
Oh!
No, but fool me like 8 times over 20 some years. And come on, people. There is a limit.
Ebert did not do this much fucking complaining.
That is because...
May rest in peace.
Yes, yes. That is because he was, you know, willing to move on to quicker other things. He was just not.
I know. I bet you you'll not hate it as much as you thought you were going to hate it. Can we do that?
How is that an endorsement? How is that incentive for me to be what? You're not going to hate it as much as you are? Let's see. Oh.
Okay, I bet you it's better than Branded.
That ain't saying much. That's not saying much. That is really not saying much at all. And remember, there is a ratio in our turdage where, you know, turd per dollar, where, you know, they spent $8 to give you this much turd. But then do you know how much they spent on After Earth?
I'm willing to guarantee you there's going to be a worse film.
I hope so. See, that's what I'm talking about. I want there to be a worse film. Because I want there to be some competition. I want there to be a surprise turd to come out and we go, nobody saw that coming. I want that. I don't want the out of the gate before you even know it's a turd to win this year. It's got to be a turd
okay,
race.
Okay.
All right? It's gotta be a turd race.
When the year plays out, we'll see what happens. But I still want you to watch this. You're not getting out of it. You're not getting out of it. Branded, you got to shine last year with Branded.
Oh.
I begged you for the entire year to watch Lockout. Like
you got me on that. And
that was not as bad. Like, you could watch it and not want to throw up.
You know what? You know what we haven't seen? Or I'm speaking for you. But you know, I knew there was something we had forgotten. Oblivion.
Is that the Tom Cruise?
Yes.
Did you see that?
No. We haven't seen that yet.
So I told we should just watch Mission Impossible and imagine him in a spacesuit and then go home.
I'm just saying that's we were slacking. We're supposed to be reviewing stuff. That's in there. Sci-fi.
It already happened.
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah. So it was already. Oh.
We're that's what I'm saying. We missed it. We missed it.
Well, I was in school.
I know. I'm just saying we missed it.
I'll watch it. I mean, I won't watch it soon. I'll watch it when it goes to like DVD or Blu-ray.
Okay, no, I'm just pointing out where yours.
We'll watch if I have to watch Oblivion.
No, that is nowhere near the same. Good try though. Good try.
So what you can't come back with is some independent bullcrap like Branded again. Cause nobody saw that. That didn't even like That wasn't even fair. That thing was painful. I literally cried because there was like a cow and then like a sacrifice, and it made no sense. Like at least Lockout, it made sense.
Really? Are you gonna tell me? Are you about to say Lockout made sense? Are you
made
really?
a better level of sense than freaking Branded?
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I just hit box office.
Seriously? If anybody watched those two movies back to back, like, Lockout would be the one that they would pick as the better film.
Better is such an interesting term. Look, can I just? I went on Box Office Mojo and I searched on what the production budget for After Earth was.
What is
Do you
it?
know what the production budget for After Earth was?
That
$130 million. $130 million, people. I mean,
what did Avengers cost?
let's
Set
check
up
real
everything.
quick. Let's see. GRS search. Marvel's click. $220 million.
Okay, so how much did
And but look, $100 million of that was just paying the actors, though. So a
Okay,
hundred
John
and
Carter was 250. Battleship was 209 million. Total Recall was 125. After Earth looked like it was Total Recall quality.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I just
Okay.
didn't realize it was that cost that much to make that kind of movie now. That's a lot for a movie. How is M. Night getting money, y'all? That people are curious now. How is M.
His
Night?
name is not on the poster, right?
No, but that doesn't
Because
matter. The people
the
that
people.
funded, the people that fund, this is what I'm trying to understand. The people that fund these movies.
Somebody sold him on the fact that Will Smith was had the Midas touch.
Stop this insanity, people. There are, do you know how many good movies you could have made for this price? Guys, oh, 130 million. Guy had a stick. Had a stick, y'all. Will Smith is just laying down the whole movie. That's it.
You haven't seen this, so how do you know?
Yes, I know. I know. God.
My God, that's so funny. So, After Earth, ladies and gentlemen.
Rage. There's rage.
Just why? I mean, just watch it. I mean, like, what? I don't see you watch worse things. You watch that Battleship rip-off on Sci-Fi Channel. I bet you're still watching Sci-Fi Channel.
Maybe watch that.
What? Oh, don't blame that on me. You watch that on. I don't have TV. I didn't even know that existed.
Exactly.
I
You
know.
made me
Well,
watch that.
you lie through your. Look
You
at
made me
this. Look,
watch
I can't
that.
believe you are a liar,
I was minding my
Carl.
own business. And you said,
No,
Carl, you got to watch this.
I
I
can't
like
believe
that
you lie
Mario Van
so well.
Peebles.
Look at you. I just
Mario Van
can't.
Peebles
I
is on
don't
it.
under. What? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? I think I have text evidence that you said you would voluntarily, if I can look through my phone, I'm not looking through all that, but I know.
Can't prove a thing. Can't prove nothing, babe. I'm all free. I'm free. I think I still would like that better than this, though. I really do. I'd say it a lot.
I think you should just watch it for the exercise of critiquing it and saying, maybe M. Night is getting a bad rep. Maybe we should watch the Devil movie too, with the him and the whole movie is filming in the elevator.
Saw that movie already. No.
You watched that?
I've
Why
seen
would you
Devil
do
already.
that?
I thought you'd seen it. Shoot.
No.
Yes, I've seen that already.
So?
What do you mean, so? Why are you even acting like there's a question? There are people trapped in an elevator. One's the devil. Yeah, that's a blockbuster.
It's nothing?
What do you mean, nothing? What do you really want me to say?
Like, it wasn't like it was interesting
Hell
because.
no. No. See, that's the problem. It should have been it should have been, Outer Limits Twilight Zone-y interesting. That there should have been, a twist in there that made no. It should have either been psychologically terrifying or a really cool twist that he's known for that would have just
Sounds
done
like cool twists
it.
still because you just had the one.
Nope. Still no cool twist. Still not. No. Like I said, 20 some years. He it's some kind of a freakish exercise making films is what's going on with M. Night. I don't know what he's, because clearly he is not trying to please the audience. I mean, that's not.
Oh, so he's masturbating.
He's doing something that is not for the pleasure of others. I'll tell you that. He is doing some kind of a creative expression. He's trying to put out a message of some kind. You know, that is what's happening, and it is not. It's not about making films that please people. It really is not. So, I don't know what he's doing. But what I don't know how he keeps getting money. I don't know how he keeps getting, I don't understand this.
It hurt his feelings if he heard you talking right now.
Tough. You know, I mean, there are people out there with really, really creative ideas, really, really interesting things that would appeal to the public. That are, you know, in their mother's basements right now and with a typewriter that's just going, I don't understand Hollywood. I don't understand. The people, they should get a chance. For all that he has done, they should get a chance. And he's talking some crap about trying to bring back Unbreakable, making a sequel to Unbreakable.
Yeah, I saw that.
I wouldn't ordinarily, in my outrage, say, you know, who's going to be fool enough to give him money for that? At this point, I'm just waiting for it to come. It's going to be a doubleheader. It's going to be that and what's our other favorite? Skyline. They're going to be back in the theater at the same time, Skyline and Unbreakable 2. And we're going to be sitting here going, what is happening? I ain't even starting. I won't even be surprised. I'm not even going to be surprised now. Be ready. Be ready for it.
You're so negative.
You know something else I was reading? Charlize Theron was supposed to be the role in Prometheus?
Yeah.
You do? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know
she
that.
She is in Prometheus.
No, she was the lead. She was supposed to have been the lead in Prometheus.
The lead of what?
The lead character. She was supposed to be the scientist woman
happened? Why wasn't she?
She had some kind of a schedule conflict, and she went off and was trying to do something, and then by the time she came back, they put that replace girl, or whatever her name is. Really? Even after she came back, I'd have been like, no, we're going to put you off to the side, girl. We're going to put Charlize in charge of this. And just, I mean, that's the first sign that the insanity was going down. But anyway, so I'm sorry, I just found out about that a little while ago.
Are you reading the news as we talk? Or?
No. That's
okay.
A couple, maybe a week or so ago, I found out.
Yeah, I don't care anymore because Guy Pearce is a mustache twirler now, and that's all he could ever be.
All right. I'm done.
Oh, wait. Wasn't he in Lockout?
Listen, I this is a creepy Faustian twist that you were trying to do here. And I'm putting these things together. I refuse to embrace the synergy that you were trying to achieve. The bookending that you were doing on this episode of Party Line. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to break it. No.
Oh, gosh.
Everything should not be tied back to Lockout. the 6 degrees of Lockout will not become Lockout.
It's a thing. It's a thing. Oh, that's some good stuff, man. That's good stuff. Wow. Wow, you got your ranting out. You did a lot of ranting today. You're so old and cranky now.
End of line.